Like to thank you, welcome you to the Medina Township Board of Trustees special meeting. It's October 30th of 2023. Time is officially 2:47. Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Here.
Mr. Christopher?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here. I would move to adopt, this resolution. What number are we on? 51.
Oh, I'm sorry. 151.
Thank you. I would move to adopt resolution number 1030-2023-151 to approve payroll dated 10/30/2023 with a total amount of $40,407.53. Total remaining deductions, withholdings, liabilities, $8,659.59, and incorporate this two-page document as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
There you go. See if that back one's for us all too. I didn't sign that one. Okay, I'll get it on the way back. Are we okay to move on?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. This will be for the approval of accounts payable resolution.
Oh, that's what you need. So I'm trying to get you a warrant list, but UAN's been not responding the majority of today, so.
I could go on to something else if that would help you. I mean, give you some time. We got a couple other things to do.
Could you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Move the insurance up.
Yeah, I would like to move item 5 up to item 4 and allow the medical insurance presentation. That'll work out well for our timing. So we will allow Mr. Mark Herman.
Yep.
To do your thing.
Trustee Eastwood, Trustee Johnson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Frank. And I've got one Frank. Other copy if somebody wants to follow
probably
along.
For Chrissy. And yeah, that Chrissy.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me up at the meeting. I sent a little cover letter up, but a few weeks back, Trustee Eastwood had contacted me concerning the township's group medical and benefit coverages. I guess there was some indication it might be taking a bit of a jump this year. And I work with several other entities here in Medina County, and certainly have worked with townships for many years across Ohio. In some of the information gathered, I looked at that, had a little discussion with Trustee Eastwood, and said there's probably some things that you could do to help keep your costs down while maintaining benefits. You know, there's no big secret in slashing benefits to reduce cost. The idea is, what can we do to reduce cost but maintaining the levels of coverage and benefits for our employees.
Yeah.
And retaining good people to serve the township. So that's kind of what I looked at. That was my kind of goal in going into this, trying to find something where we can, A, reduce some of our cost, but continue to maintain benefits. In speaking with Trustee Eastwood, it sounds like the township has been providing a health savings account for the employees and funding those. And those, unfortunately, are becoming more and more expensive. Twofolds, back in the day when a lot of entities jumped to those, I remember, I think, when they first came out in the mid-2000s, a single deductible used to be $1,200 and the family deductible was $24, and now going into 2024, the single deductible, according to the IRS, has to be a minimum of $32, and then your family $64. So certainly a huge increase in those deductible ranges, and also the cost differentials aren't as good as they used to be. And it's nice sometimes to go to some of those higher deductibles, but it's very tough for an entity to afford to do so. If you're funding $6,000 for a family, it's all of a sudden pretty hard to double that and go to a $12,000 or a $15,000 deductible and say, okay, we're going to take on, instead of $110,000 liability in our funding, we're going to bump it up to $250,000 or $300,000 of potential liability. And according to the auditor's office, you're supposed to be able to account for that extra exposure as well. So on a number of our groups over the last few years, what I've done, I've put in an insured HRA program. So a township or a public entity or a village can still purchase an HSA style plan from the insurance company, depending on what their funding limits are and what they want to contribute to the employees. They can still continue to have an HSA plan, but then have that higher deductible insured through an HRA benefit. It's just a spreading of risk and laying some of that risk off on the insurance company versus self-funding that risk like you're kind of doing today. So that's what I had kind of put together in this proposal. There's a couple ways to do it. Certainly the best way to do that would be to go to a plan that has a $7,500 deductible per person with a cap or two of those per family. And that is in this proposal packet here on the spreadsheet. And with that plan, you could keep the $3,200, $6,400 as Medical Mutual is moving you to as of January. But there are some things that maybe we could discuss on the HSA portion as well that we could potentially do different. But if you wanted just to keep that exactly the same, you could still have that $3,200, deductible. And then we would build in basically a $4,300 insured benefit per person, or an $8,600 benefit if you've got couple or family coverage. So you're increasing the deductible with Medical Mutual and then purchasing a policy to insure that extra deductible exposure for the township and the employees. That's kind of a high level overview of that. There's a rate page that's on the back of that chart. And then here is the insert from your renewal packet. And this is basically how I did this. I looked at your options within here. And I would focus on the one that's the $7,500, $1,500 deductible. It's an embedded deductible as you have today. That rate is actually below your current rate by a big chunk. And then if we flip a couple of pages back, we've got the $5,000 and the $7,500 insured HRA benefit pages. And we'll just kind of go to the back of this page. Yeah, photocopied on both sides. So if we look on the back of that page, it has our rates for that plan. So to lay off that deductible is costing us about $33,000 a year. And when I add those two together, we're basically $50,000 below current rate. looking at renewal, we're about $110,000 below the renewal. We could do this with other carriers. In this case, I just showed it staying with Medical Mutual. Everybody wanted to do applications and try to shop it. We could certainly do that. It might be starting to get a little late in the ball game. Most of my other groups that were doing shopping, I usually start talking to them in August. Like Montville Township, we had them do Form Fire and update those applications beginning part of September. That way, I mean, unfortunately with public entities, you only have a couple meetings a month to review things and make a decision. So it's kind of important to kind of be ahead of the curve a little bit. It's not like a company that can say, well, we'll make a decision any day of the week, but it might be a little bit late in the game to go out to bid and try to get other proposals at this point. And you'd be probably that first or second week meeting, in December, trying to make a decision. And then we're scrambling for our ID cards and everything. So this plan is actually the insured HRA's guaranteed issue. It pretty much mirrors your group plan. Staying with Medical Mutual, you have the exact same doctors, coverages, networks. The only difference is you're shifting that deductible, as was an option within your benefits renewal anyway. Also have some ideas on, you know, dental, vision, life insurance. We've got some dental programs I think would be beneficial, vision as well. Life insurance, don't know exactly what you're doing today with the life insurance, but we can pretty much mirror that and most of the time capture some savings.
I heard it say that our current plan was something that if we lost or we lost it, you weren't going to get it back grandfathered or something of that nature.
No, because your current plan is now through the COSI, the MIWA, and that's a newer plan, so that's not grandfathered or grandmothered anymore. That's a self-funded plan, so it's not an old traditional fully insured plan. And a lot of other carriers in the meantime, Doug, have gone to that type of a system. So COSI has one with Medical Mutual. They also work with the Columbus Chamber. The Ohio Chamber of Commerce has their MIWA with United Healthcare. All of the local chambers of commerce, about 103 of them, and the Farm Bureau have theirs with Anthem. So you've got choices there with other carriers. And then Aetna, Allstate, Cigna, some of those other carriers have the similar type concept as a MIWA type program as well.
And then there's options with the HSA, what that looks like.
Yeah.
Can you share some of the different thoughts that you had on that?
So, I mean, nothing wrong with an HSA. That's good, but again, as these deductible limits creep up every year, but you're transferring more and more, and I guess at the end of the day, you have to ask what is our reason for doing that, and probably when it was started initially, maybe 10 years ago or more, I would guess it was probably we can reduce our benefit costs by doing it. It wasn't we want to start shifting an account into employee coffers. One way to do it, rather than doing it through an HSA type model, is doing it with an insurer or a self-funded HRA debit card. So everybody gets a debit card, it's preloaded. You could do, if you wanted to do it and now have it be a non-HSA plan, you could still keep it at the 3,000, 6,000 limit as you have today. So you wouldn't have to worry about the qualified high deductible plan and the HSA guidelines by the IRS. You could do 3 and 6. We have the benefit increase a little bit on this plan to cover that. Everybody has a debit card, it's preloaded. A lot of carriers will allow you to pay that on an annual average basis, like TASC. So you wouldn't have to pay it all up front, but you pay a portion of it every month. So it's an upfront hit. Most of the time, and we have groups on that, I would say to calculate kind of an average of because based, I think, on your counts, you're putting in about 111,000, somewhere around that. I would say you're probably going to have an 80% utilization of that. So at the end of the year versus an HSA plan, where once it's paid out, it's gone. With an HRA, whatever is remaining stays with the employer. And that way you probably get a 20% return on that 111,000 if you do that type of model. So you're not expending those funds and keeping them out of the township coffers indefinitely. You're expending those throughout the year on a budgeted basis, and then at the end of the year, whatever isn't used, and we would want to run out to make sure all claims get paid, but whatever is not used basically reverts back to the township. And again, helps if that's the goal, is to provide, you know, good benefits at a reasonable cost, then that probably would be a better model than the HSA model today.
Okay, and that, can that be, is that something where you consider funding that quarterly, or like say there's a $6,000 balance in it,
yeah,
or something of that nature, and it's as people need it, they can go to it because,
yeah,
it's on a debit card, so to speak.
Most of the carriers will do a like task, for example. We might pay half of that up front and then calculate an average, and they'll just divide that out over 12 months. But if everybody has their $6,000 in January, they're good with that.
Okay.
So it's almost like they're financing that payment.
So you put the $6,000 in it to begin with, like we do in HSA.
You wouldn't have to put the whole amount in.
But you wouldn't have.
But
to.
It would be available,
right,
immediately for the employee.
That's what I'm trying to.
Yes.
I'm trying to minimize the questions I've had from,
yeah,
staff that are like, are you, you know, what, where, and this seemed like it was a better mix than some traditional reimbursement plans where they had to pay for it, bring it in, cash it in.
They would still have to submit their qualified receipts to make sure that is a qualified expense, right?
Okay.
But the card is basically preloaded with money. And there's a fee to that. TASC charges a fee. It's so much for their plain document to set it up, right? $500 or $600, and I think they then charge it's about $7 per employee per month to do the administration and have the debit card, but there's no longer a need for somebody to send in and get reimbursed on that debit card system. Those funds are available from day one.
So just to clarify in my mind, if I go in for a procedure,
mm-hmm,
and I got to come up with $800.
Yeah.
Now, do I have to pre-qualify for that $800 in order to have that available on the card, or how does it walk me through?
So the card's preloaded, right? And it will know if they call them smart cards, but it's not really, the card's not smart. It's anytime you have a card reader at a medical facility or at the pharmacy register, it has special code readings that know it's a medical item.
Okay.
System. It's if you try to use it at the front of a grocery store, it's going to go through, and it's not a medical card reader, so it's going to say no, we can't use the card here. But the pharmacy has a different reading code that knows, hey, this is a medical.
Okay.
So the card could be used at the pharmacy when you pick up prescriptions. It could be used at those doctor's offices. You always want to make sure you're going to show your insurance card, and you do have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. While they say they are smart cards, if I use it at the doctor's office, right, and it goes through and it's $800, but then Medical Mutual says, well, hey, Frank, you know, that procedure, we didn't cover that, so you still owe the $800. So there is some responsibility for the employee to make sure it is used in conjunction with their medical plan. Somewhat the same with an HSA. You're giving the employee money in the HSA. Could they use that for something outside of that? Certainly, but then they're going to be, if they do have that deductible, they're going to be short. So you want to make sure that's coordinated and use it with your covered charges on your medical plan.
Well, I was hoping today would be a good chance to get an introduction and get, you know, get a little feel for some possibilities. With the idea being, you know, we could take this, study it ourselves, talk to you, you know, individually.
Sure. But feel free to, you've got my, I think, office numbers, my cell phone numbers. We could certainly set up a work session.
Okay.
There's a lot of possibilities, things that could be discussed and done.
Okay.
And we could probably talk about this for a couple hours if you wanted.
Well.
But I doubt you want.
Not tonight.
Yeah. Now, you were, if I understood it right, you said about 80% is generally used. And if it's not used, it comes back to the township. What if somebody leaves after 3 months? Does that three quarters of that 6,000 come back to the township?
So if they do have some claims, right, there's usually a 3 month run out.
Right.
But yeah, if somebody left and they didn't have any qualified plans under the medical plan, any qualified claims, that task usually after 3 months shuts that account off.
Okay.
And that money then would revert back.
Okay.
So now, if somebody has a large surgery in January and they've used it, it's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that could be up to 3 months after they leave. It could stay active is what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, it's okay. Active to capture any claims. Now, they'll also be notified that, hey, you know.
Anything new.
Any new claims, if I left at the end of March, April or May claims
that's
aren't going to be
not,
processed.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure
yeah.
I understood it. Well.
Understood
it. Any other questions for right now?
Mr. Johnson?
I'm just going to cross-reference the things here. It's more like, you know, when we use it, like how much of your medical is actually covered after the point of the HSA and stuff like that. So I just want to look at it. I've read the whole first page here real quick, but just to kind of cross-reference it with the other thing. I like the idea of the debit card and, you know, not giving the whole $6,000 right at the beginning. So.
Yeah, and after that, you'd basically get a secondary payer card that you'd use in conjunction with your medical mutual card. So they have a digital claims paying number, so the hospital, the doctor's office could use that. I can send you some additional pieces to follow up maybe tomorrow morning. It is going to be a little bit of education on the employee part, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'd want to have an employee meeting, make sure they understand how to use it. On the pharmacy side, they would have to file the claim. After that initial 3 and 6. But, you know, certainly when you look at the taking that additional risk or liability off the township and having the opportunity to capture some savings, a little bit of employee education and employee meeting, and then what we do for the groups, if folks do have questions, issues, or problems and with this carrier, it's you'll also get a dedicated service team. So you'll have one person that's your point of contact within that group. The VP of the company actually lives in Portage Lakes, so not too far away. But if employees have questions, issues, problems, we always encourage them, give our office a call. Let us help you sort that stuff out.
Thank you. I will say the other trustees, I've got United, and of course I've got Medical Mutual. Have much better luck with Medical Mutual than United. That was my personal experience, but maybe it's different.
Just one last thing from my end. If we were to ask for, you know, references from other townships that are maybe working with this, would you be able to willing to check with them and see if they could share that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to hear somebody's actually using it,
yep.
What their
yep.
experience
sure.
is like.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, and this proposal here is staying with your current medical mutual. So there's no change there.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. We will be in touch with you. And if
thank you.
Anything, please feel free to reach out to us.
Yeah, I'll send some follow-up information after this meeting.
Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you all.
It.
If there's nothing else, I'll probably
you,
just
you're
go
good.
Ahead.
You're good.
Adjourn
yes,
myself.
Thank
you all.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Go back to the accounts.
Yes. I do have an explanation on this, so
okay.
Before you start talking, I'll just explain it. That works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount, which I know we talked about this a little bit at the meeting on Thursday, that the amounts were going to be different because of that July, those 15 days in July, but the amounts, if you look at the November invoice, were off. It, and this is not just for one employee, just so you know. So There are a couple employees. Again, you'll have to go through the bill to see. I don't think we need to go line by line right now, because I think the importance is getting this paid. I did remove them. I made it right. October was the same for one other person. There's somebody not working. It hasn't been since the middle of August, but we're being charged for life insurance on that person. So I made the adjustments because, you know, again, there's no way really to charge these correctly, right? So, but with the November bill, if you sit down with it, and I know it's probably not easy for any of the trustees to do that without a spreadsheet or some way to do, because you're going to be trying to figure this out manually, and I know that would be probably pretty difficult. But if you were to do that, you'll see that it doesn't add up. They actually shorted themselves in November. So I'm just going to tell you, these are actual numbers. You know, the payment that was made are the actual numbers for Medical Mutual. So, you know, if they come back, I mean, we're going to submit the letter that they sent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to put a little note, I didn't have time to do this. I worked on this till the very last minute before I had to print to get up here. Again, we were also having some problems with UAN, so Brian was kind enough to be working on this all morning with me. But, you know, I think they're going to be okay with this, hopefully. But we've got a check to deliver to them, so I think that's
good. There's a check cut in the amount that Medical Mutual said that we have a cut.
There's a slight adjustment to it.
Well, correct. I mean, but they knew that it wasn't going to be, because what they said was to cut the check minus certain amounts anyways. So, you know, you're going to have that. But so here's your resolution number, and then you've got that, and then I'll sign them. I got to grab the check to sign.
So this is going to be for these two invoices, less various adjustments.
Less various, yes, adjustments, and they don't, with the one thing that the letter didn't even touch on was the July balance.
That's what I'm just trying to think when I word it, if I just, you know, word the resolution, because there's nothing written out for this, correct, as far as a resolution.
What was done on Thursday didn't have that either in there. So I don't, I mean, do you still have the executive session? I mean, if you want,
yeah,
you want me to work on something, I can work on something with Chrissy on, or is she going back? I don't know what we're doing, but.
No, she'll be going back with us, so.
Okay.
I think I'm fine if we just, you know, move to approve this resolution for the purpose of paying the COSI bill as presented with these two invoice numbers less various deductions for the total amount of this much money.
Yeah, okay.
I think we're okay with that. Okay. I would move to approve resolution 1030-2023-152 for the purpose of approving payment for the COSI bill to Medical Mutual for invoice number 0321-26918-5 and invoice number 0325-03641-6, less some various adjustments that have been made, the total check written is $52,324.80.
Second, for everyone in discussion. Are the amounts different than what we voted on Thursday?
The amounts are different, but they were. But on Thursday, we knew they were going to be different.
Okay.
Okay.
I just don't want to send them a check for $52,000 and have them say no.
No. No.
Like they didn't work out the amounts for us, so that there was no way to. I had to go in and and manually figure those amounts, and this is the best we can do at this point, so to keep everyone's insurance in place.
Is there a check here for this?
Yes, there is.
Okay. So we got a first and a second, any other discussion?
One other thing I think it is really important, especially because we've come across this before, again, with, you know, with the other employees that are being discussed right now, just with people, you know, aren't here with the township anymore. We got it. If somebody could stay on top of that with getting them removed from the billing for, you know, like life insurance or whatever they're on, you know, whatever they're signed up for, because that carries forward. I mean, it can go months and months, and we've got to get that taken care of. I don't know if, you know, Medical Mutual was even made aware, so.
Thank you. Nothing else? Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Asked me to send that picture to him, so that's what I'm doing. All right. Thank you for getting that check here tonight.
Sure. So that if the check, when it's overnighted, I would send a little note with this. Just that there is, you know, less the deductions and it's per the, you know, the letter. Because I don't know, one thing I know about Medical Mutual is one department does not talk to the other, and that's been difficult, you know, just something that's difficult to navigate. So that would probably be the wisest thing to do.
All right.
So.
We're going to go into an executive session now to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee. And I would like the trustees, I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. I would like the trustees, I would like Billy Conrad, and I would like Chrissy to accompany us. And the time is 3:20. We're in executive session. The time is 4:06. We are returning from executive session where no decisions were made. We need to formally open it. Are we good?
Well, we can discuss what we...
Yeah, I mean, that was a motion to open, right?
No, we're not.
Okay, thank you. So, our conversation back there is revolving around the office assistant position, and we've advertised for it. We had a respondent, and we talked to Billy Conrad, who's with us here today. We talked about the scope or the job description, be working as an office assistant to Chrissy. There would be a focus on public records requests, but it would also include other office related duties, tasks. It would include getting trained on the for the public records Sunshine Law elements from the Attorney General's website. be up to 20 hours a week, approximately 20 hours a week, but there's flexibility there. The hourly rate would be $17.50 an hour. There would be no health benefits or related benefits included with this position. She would work from the admin building, so be in here, and it would be between the hours of 9 and 5, with a potential start date of November 6th, 2023.
Second.
Well, any more discussion?
The big thing we're doing back there is meeting Billy, you know, getting the background, what she has, you know, telling her what we have to do. It seemed like, to me, a good fit. I like the idea that it's a part-time job. She has other work to do, and, you know, we can be accommodating to the schedule, and I think it would work out pretty well the way it sounds right now.
It's not a secret that we've been struggling for some time with additional help in this area. I'm looking forward to having her engage. I'm looking forward to her interest in getting trained, which she's excited about. She understands it's a task that's going to have some challenges. But we're going to focus on the positive, and hopefully the intent we're looking for is somebody that can be focused on something and not have to be drawn off of things as much. Chrissy did a wonderful job, does a wonderful job, but she's still one person. So, so I don't think I didn't make a motion. I'd like to make a motion that we would hire Billy Conrad as the office assistant, that she would be working under Chrissy Moore, that she would work up to 20 hours a week, that her pay rate would be $17.50 per hour, that this position would have no health care benefits or related benefits included, that we'll work from the admin building, that they would work between the hours of 9 to 5 as scheduled with Chrissy. Again, there's flexibility in this. And with a potential start of November 6th of 2023.
Second.
Anything else?
No, just the department head is Elaine. Just, so she'll be working with Chrissy under.
Right. The admin department head is Elaine, and she's the department head, so.
Would she be attending any township meetings?
That's part of the flexibility part.
It's part of the flexibility, sure.
She might be required probably at the beginning of all of them, but it'd probably be good to get 100 or 200 per bell. So.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Welcome. So now you got homework to do and paperwork to get, so.
Thank you.
If she accepts, right?
If she accepts,
yeah. Well, comes back.
If you come back.
Other township business, I am good. You?
I just got the open house tomorrow at 4 to 6 over at the police station.
Bruce?
No.
Speaking of the open house, I think the Halloween trick or treat was ever set.
I think that was set all the way.
January 3rd.
Yeah, it was set. Oh, we did. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I had it on my list of things to do.
Yeah, I checked it.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, if there is nothing else before the board, I would make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. It's 4:11 p.m.